been gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday.
Church, think about it. No, think about it. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Are you looking to it? Some static here today. I guess it'll go away. I'm not really sure. Sometimes I have static and sometimes I don't. Well, I think that's it. I think it's over. God bless you. We've got a great broadcast in front of us. We've got a great broadcast in front of us, and I want you to be affected by this broadcast. How long since you've heard the man of God stand in the pulpit and tell you about the brand new body that the saints of God are going to have on that glorious day? How long since you really knew that when we talk about the judgment and the coming of the Lord, we talk about all the great truths in the great Christian life. I'm here to tell you, friend, it is filled with some of the most wonderful things you can ever imagine. The Word of God is a living book. The Word of God paints the picture for us in vivid colors that the future of the Christian is the only future worth your attention. That the future of the Christian is the only future that's worth your attention. I'm telling you, there is nothing to match what awaits us over there. Well, it's going to be a great day. I don't want to miss it. I wouldn't miss it for nothing in this world, and I don't want you to miss it. Now, let's start out by going to the Bible, and let's let the Word of God tell us exactly the things that are about to happen. I mean, they are incredible. They are unmatched. And I don't know why we're having this difficulty. I don't normally have it. Something is not right, I presume. But we'll get it straight. And we're going to have a great broadcast. Go in your Bible. Go in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to hear some verses of the Bible that could change your life. They literally could change your life. They could give you a new hope, a new feeling, a new satisfaction, I mean a new understanding of what awaits you down the road, of what awaits you when you face God and that marvelous day of the resurrection. Are you ready? Are you living for Christ? Is your life sold out to the Lord? Is your life sold out to the Savior and to live for Him and to do His wonderful will? There is nothing like the wonderful will of God. I'm tightening up some things and just trying to make sure there's nothing wrong here that's causing this difficulty. Maybe it's gone now. Maybe it is. Okay, let's get with the Word of God. What do you say? Are you ready? Are you ready to hear? There's a little static in my voice, and I'm sorry for that, but I'll go ahead with the broadcast, and maybe that will vanish. I'm really not sure. But all right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now listen to that. If we're born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. I'm telling you, what is awaiting us is so breathtaking. We are going to bear, if we bear the image of the earthy, if we bear the Christ in this life, if we bear the image of Christ in this life, then we will bear the heavenly image of Christ in the days to come. That's probably one of the most powerful verses that you can read about this new body. If we bear the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See, God has planned for us to have a brand new body. God's plan for us is to have a brand new body, a body like unto His own glorious body. A body like unto His own glorious body. And this is our future body. This is that glorious body, that heavenly body that we're going to have for eternity. And we're going to enjoy a life that is so angelic, really. Not angels, but angelic. I mean by that a heavenly life, a life so beautiful and so breathtaking that you will never have anything to match the beauty of what you will have when you get home up there. You will never have the beauty of anything like you will have when you get home up there. I think I got it right here. I don't know what I did, but I'm human enough that I do things. But listen, now I want to read that again because that's so overwhelming. I think we got it all straight here. It says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I'm talking today about a brand new body. A perfectly formed, a perfect life, a brand new body, a place where there's no sickness, there's no sin, and there's none of what we know in this life. It will be a heavenly life. And God has that on His agenda and on His plan for every one of us that are saved, of course, that are washed in the blood. If you're not washed in the blood, you have no possible chance of ever inheriting that new body. If you're not washed in the blood, there is no way for you to inherit that new body. You must have a brand new life in Christ. And I cry out to you. Now, what is so beautiful is this present body of ours is but a shadow of that heavenly body that we're going to inherit in the kingdom of God. Our earthly body is a shadow. I mean, it's a shadow. Now, it has a reflection on the life we're going to have there. We will know even as also we are known. I love that. We will know even as also we are known. You will know me as you know me now, except I will have a brand new body and you'll have a brand new body. You will know your friends and your neighbors and your family. I do believe a family will celebrate together on that blessed shore. I do believe a man and a woman he loved and his precious wife, I believe they may indeed, as the song says, look all over heaven together at the beauties and enjoy the fellowship of each other. They will not be like a man and wife in the marital relationship, but they will be wonderful friends, and they will know one another as they have known. they will know one another as they have known. I said to somebody some time ago, I don't want two sweethearts up there looking for me. I want just one sweetheart up there looking for me. Well, maybe you don't agree with that way. That's okay. You take yours and I'll take mine. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, we shall know even as also we are known. As I am known now, I will be known then. As I know now, I will know then. The people I know now and that I love, I will rejoice to see my brothers and my sisters on that heavenly shore. I mean, don't think that heaven is some kind of, disembodied kind of mental state. No. We will have bodies and there will be glorified bodies and we will enjoy the beauty of heaven together, and it's going to be a marvelous place. Now, you say, Reverend Chambers, can you back all of that up with the Bible? Well, I believe I can. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Just back a couple chapters there. 1 Corinthians 13, I believe it's verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Listen to that. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Face to face, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Then shall I know even as also I am known. So we are going to know each other, and we're going to enjoy the fellowship of each other. And the saints of God who serve God together are going to rejoice together. And of course, we'll meet multitudes of other people that we never knew before. Heaven is going to be a long home. A long home and a happy place and a marvelous place. And let's get to the heart of it now today. Let's really try to understand the fullness of what it's going to be like when we have this new body in that heavenly place and we are healthy without one iota of imperfections. We have no sin to deal with. We have no devil to deal with. We have no enemies to deal with. We have no locks to secure in our homes. None of the things that are now so much a part of life will be part of life then, because we are going to have brand new glorified bodies. Now, when you think about a glorified body, you think about a body that has nothing about it that is human-like here on this earth. Stumping your toe will not occur. None of the things that we have to deal with. I'm 82, and so I have to be careful anymore as I walk up steps, and as I become very careful since my fall on Thanksgiving last year. I've become very careful in my walk, and I have a little bit sometimes of a little stumbly way about me. I see people a lot worse, and so I don't feel so bad about my age. But I'm here to tell you, on that day, in that place, none of that will exist. It'll be an eternal youthful state, a state so blessed and so beautiful. So I'll read that verse again, because you need to get things like this set in your mind, because people will tell you all kinds of things today. Listen to me again. For now we see through a glass darkly. We don't know as we will know then. We don't understand as we will understand then. But then, face to face. Now, I know in part now. I don't know everything. But in that day, face to face, my mental capacity will be unlimited. My mental capacity, my vocabulary will be unlimited. Everything about your life will be so pure and so perfect. Now, go with me to 1 John, because I want to spend a little time increasing your grasp of what I read to you a while ago in the book of 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go back there. We're going to spend a while. We're going to try our best to grasp every bit of that, because I want this to be the kind of Bible study that will change your life, that you will never forget it, that you will start living with a hope that maybe you've never had. People get so used to this life until all they want is the pleasures they get down here. Friend, the pleasures down here don't even compare with the pleasures is up there. And all that you've been through with, and whatever been your trials, whatever been your hardships, I promise you, it'll be like a new world up there. It'll be so breathtaking and so outstanding. It'll literally be grand. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verses 12. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. Let me make sure I have it here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3. Beloved, listen now. I want you to hear this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, this is what people go through a lot. Now we know that we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now we know that when we are there, we shall see him and we shall be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. Now, in a moment, I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and show you what John saw when he saw Jesus. The glory of Jesus when John saw him. The beauty, the magnificence of Jesus when John saw him. He was so overjoyed and overwhelmed that he fell on his face. And the Lord had to lift him up and hold him, because the presence of the Christ was so magnificent and so wonderful. Now read again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Are you a son of God, a daughter of God? Do you belong to him? Are you one of his children? Do you know that you know that you know that you're his and that you're acquainted with him? So many people claim to be Christians and they don't know beans about being a Christian. They just have some kind of faith that they believe words and they've never experienced nothing. They've never really become a son or a daughter of God by the new birth. They're just religious. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doth not yet appear what our future is going to be. We don't understand it all. I don't sit here and claim to know it all. I know it's going to be many times more wonderful than this man could ever imagine. And all of my best words don't describe the full extent of it. So we don't know yet what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That we know, we don't know now yet what the future is going to hold, but we do know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you get all of that? Do you get that scripture? That's in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 and 2. Go read it for yourself. Don't take my word. I don't know what I'm going to be like, but when I get there, I know that I will know even as I am known, because I already have that in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. And now here we go a little deeper, and not only are we going to know as we are known, but we're going to see him, and we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now don't get to thinking in your head you're going to be a god. Don't get to thinking that you're going to become divine. No, your divinity will be subject to his divinity. I should say you won't even be divine at all. So don't get the wrong feeling there. Your beauty, your glorification. Now that's my word. Your glorification will be subject to his divinity. His divinity will reflect upon you, and you will be glorified, and you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. You'll be able to look upon him. You'll be able to shake his hand. You'll be able to feel the same love for him those disciples felt for him. You will see the glory of his glory, and it will be overwhelming, and you will reflect some level of that glory. Now, that's something I got to say it carefully, because I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to be misquoted. You will reflect somewhat of his glory. His glory will certainly be greater than your glory, but you will reflect an element of his glory, so that the scripture can rightly say, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, Christians, listen to me. You that are serving the Lord with all of your heart, you keep your faith on Him. You keep your head turned toward Him. I'm here to tell you the glory of your future is so magnificent, it is overwhelming to me to try to tell you what is really awaiting us when we get to that glorious place of our resurrection. This old body will come out of the ground. I'll still be Joseph Robert Chambers. I will be me. I don't want to be nobody but me. And I don't want to be just some kind of disembodied nothingness. I want to be me. I want to enjoy my Christ. I want to enjoy the love of God. I want to see my Father face to face. I want to live in that new Jerusalem, which is a literal city, a beautiful city. It will be full of mansions. It will be full of glorious, glorious things that are beyond the human grasp. And you got to understand, we shall see Him, for we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. See, now I read to you a while ago, if we bear the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now we have this picture where it says very clearly that we will see Him and we will be like Him. Now you go to, to Jerusalem after Jesus was resurrected, and you watch those disciples as they see the Lord. Remember the time He's even cooking fish for them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Remember that? Remember that literally He was the Son of God. They saw the nail prints in His hands. He had Thomas to thrust his finger into the nail prints. See, we've got to understand that Jesus Christ is a genuine, genuine man, a Son of the living God. He is both man forever and He is God forever. And you will see Him as He is, and you will be like Him, for you will see Him as He is. And so you're going to share a glory that is indescribable. I don't have the right words. Nobody does. All you can do is take what the Bible says. But the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And then He says, if you have this hope in you, you purify yourself. You don't live an old shabby life. You don't live an old compromising life. People say to me sometimes, why don't you compromise a little bit? And I say, it's not in me. I'm never going to compromise. That Bible is the pure word of God. And that's all I'm ever going to speak. You hear me when I say there's no compromise in Joe Chambers. And I mean every word of it. I'm going to walk with Him and stay close to Him. And I'm going to be like Him, for I'm going to see Him like He is. And I can hardly wait till that day. See, you got to understand, after we are glorified, we are, of course, coming back to the earth to fight with Him the battle of Armageddon. We'll be riding white horses. We'll be riding horses. That's what the Bible says. We'll be riding horses. We'll be literal men and women, literally saints of the living God with the Christ. And then we're going to take over and we're going to rule this earth for 1,000 years. Now, you're not talking about a bunch of disembodied spirits ruling this world for 1,000 years. You're talking about you and me and all the saints of God who are like unto the Lord, who see Him as He is, who share His glory. And we're going to rule the earth. We'll be kings and priests. That's what the Bible says. Kings and priests and rule the world. You're not talking about some kind of something that has no being, no body, no substance, you're just not talking about what some people try to make the future into being. I'm here to tell you, it's going to be so glorious, and you will be delighted to be part of it, and you will never lose the joy of being part of that glorious day, because it's going to be as real as I'm trying to tell you. Now, I'm saying these kind of things, and I hope they awake in you a passion to know them deeper. And so you'll get in your Bible, and you start with 1 Corinthians 15, and then come here to 1 John 3, and then we'll go back to 1 John 13. I read that a while ago. And the Bible's just full of what awaits us when we get there. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden were meant to live forever. They were meant to live forever. They really were. And because of their sins, the sin nature has been passed down through us. And Jesus had to redeem us and make new creatures out of us. And now we're born again. But then we're going to have a glorified body. Let me tell you three things that are very important in a Christian's life. Number one is the new birth. You've got to be born again. You got to be born again. Number two is sanctification. You got to be set apart from this world. Number three is going to be glorification. And from the time you get converted and are born again, until the time you're glorified, you must live a sanctified life. And you must stay free of this world. Don't become like it. Don't dress like it. Don't smell like it. Don't look like it. Don't be like it. I have no interest in being like this world. I have no interest in its pleasures. My pleasure is waiting for Him to come. I can hardly wait when I shall see Him. As we are born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now you need to read that over and over and over again. That's got to be one of the most powerful verses in our Bible. That literally, if we bear His image in the earthly life, we will bear His image in the heavenly life. It can't mean nothing else. We're never going to bear His heavenly if we don't bear His image in the earthly form. So are you living a Christ-centered life? Have you committed yourself to be like the Lord in all of your conduct? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says, the book of Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, He's trying to get you ready to bear His image in the eternities. He's trying to get you ready right here. Right here on this earth, He's trying to get you ready to bear His image in the heavenlies. He really is. And you can't bear His image in the heavenlies if you don't bear His image in the earthy. Now, I'm calling you to a life of holiness and purity. I'm calling you out of this world. I'm calling you out of its compromises, its conduct, its violence. Do you listen to the news enough to look at how insane sin is making people? Sin is reducing the friends and people all around us to being literal nothing but mindless idiots. The sin of man's action, the more immorality, the filth, the fornication, the sodomy, I mean, whatever the sin is, it's reducing people to be nothing but helpless critters. I mean, the things you read in the newspaper, the way people are, I mean, it's just crazy. I don't want to get started in talking about how really terrible it is out there with a multitude of people, but sin is doing it. Sin will make you insane. The more you live in sin, the more insane you become. And the further into sin you go, it'll take you further than you ever meant to go. It'll keep you longer than you ever meant to stay. It'll take you to a place you never meant to go to. I'm here to tell you, it'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. It'll do more things to you than you ever meant to let anybody or anything do to you. And it will finally keep you into an eternal hell. Friend, it is just not worth it. It is just not worth it. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. That's so overwhelming that I really could spend the whole program there and never finish all the beauty of this great passage of Scripture. Now, you know what I read a while ago? You won't forget that, I trust. As you're born the image of the earthly, I'm going to read it again. This is chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 48. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48, and verse 49 it is, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and this blood, this body as it now is, flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? No way this body can enter into that kingdom as it now is. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Notice that word changed, C-H-A-N-G-E-D. We shall be changed. Now, you got to hear me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. I'm sorry. That word, incorruptible. The dead's going to be made incorruptible. Notice that. What does it mean, make the dead incorruptible? It means they can never die again. They will have a glorified body. They'll be incorruptible. They'll have this change that I'm talking about, this celestial body, this glorified body. They will literally be glorified, literally glorified. That's just the best word you can find for it. They'll be glorified. All this earthy will suddenly put on a glorification. We'll look like we look. We'll be the people we are. But there'll be no infirmities in the new body. There will be no weaknesses in the new body. There will be no tendency towards sin in the new body. Temptation will not exist in the new body. There will be nothing that you think about in the limited form of man on this earth will not exist any longer, but you will have a glorified body. Isn't that wonderful? So the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now let's talk about the graveyard a minute. I never thought about how sad a graveyard is until my Juanita died. And I've taken a flower there every week since she passed. I will never allow, if I can help it, a week to go without a flower there. As long as she's there, I'm taking a flower there. And it's a sad place. It's a gloomy place. I got where I hate to go. I often leave just sobbing, crying, weeping. But I want to tell you something. It's about to happen that the graveyard is going to be one of the happiest places on the face of this earth. The graveyards are going to be one of the happiest places on the face of this earth. Because when every saint of God starts rising up out of that earth, and the Bible says the earth will cast them out. That's in Isaiah 26. The earth will cast them out. And when the earth begins to cast out these living saints, they're not going to hang around that graveyard, I'm sure. They're going to ascend up into the sky. But I'm going to show you in a moment where some saints of God were raised in Jerusalem and went into the holy city and were seen a many. Have you ever read that? You say, oh, that's not in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. Brother Chambers, don't tell you something that's not in there. It's in the Bible. And these blessed old saints arose. They arose at the same time of Christ's resurrection, and they were seen a many. They left those graves, burst wide open, and went into the city, and people knew them, knew who they were. It had to have been one of the most exciting things that's ever occurred. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I wish it would occur a couple times now. I really do. I wish over the next short period of time, as we wait for the rapture, that we'd have some experiences of some old saints coming out of their grave and being seen by many. Oh, what a day. What a transformation. Let me read on. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. See, all the glorification is the glory, the corruptible putting on incorruption. It's this mortal body taking on immortality. That's the essence of it. Taking on immortality. It not changing the features of my face. I'll probably look younger, I would suggest. And many people say I don't look 82. That doesn't make any difference here to me. But I'm here to tell you that we will be changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible. Let me read. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I love that word, immortality. That means we are glorified forever. Never, never going back to the corruptible. Never feeling a pain. Never sneezing again. Never having any of the earthly limitations that we now deal with. Oh, what a day. For when the corruptible shall have put on the incorruptible, in the incorruption, and when the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I love those words. Death is swallowed up in victory. You know Jesus has the keys of death, don't you? He got those when he went into the heart of the earth after his death, before his resurrection. He actually took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And so Jesus has the keys of death and of hell and of the grave. You understand that. And here it says very plainly, death shall be swallowed up in victory. Death shall be swallowed up in victory. I mean, this death that man goes to, the worst enemy of humankind, will suddenly be eliminated. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this. The power of that resurrection is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've been studying all week And I mean, you're talking about shouting and enjoying myself with the Lord. You're talking about screaming a few times in this altar as I've been praying and seeking God. And I realize the power of the blood. I realize that the blood of Jesus Christ reflects every bit of the power of heaven, every bit of the power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The blood of Jesus Christ is so dynamic and so powerful. Let me tell you something. I told this on the Facebook earlier this week. When Mary conceived in her womb Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost had to implant in her a seed of life that man gives to the whole birth concept and process. And so a little seed from God by the Holy Ghost was placed in Mary's womb. And in that seed was a speck of blood. It was so small you could not have seen it, probably unless you had a microscope. I mean, it was just that small. But in that one little speck of blood in Mary's womb was so much of heaven and so much of the Father and so much of the Holy Ghost and so much of the Christ that when Mary walked into the home of Elizabeth, John the Baptist was 6 months in Mary's womb, 3 months from the time of his delivery, but he jumped in the womb and leaped at the presence of Mary. And that little speck of blood, because it represented all of the power of heaven. That little speck of blood represented every power of the Father and every power of the Son and every power of the Holy Ghost. And that little speck of blood would grow in the baby Jesus as he was born and as he lived his 33 years until when he died on the cross. And that blood drained from his body and fell to the earth, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. That blood was so powerful and dynamic that blood controlled. Completely destroyed death. It destroyed everything of wickedness, everything of evil. The judgment is not final yet of all this, but the blood has already paid the price. It's a done deal. Do you hear me? It's a done situation. This earth is going to be transformed into a place of absolute purity, absolute immortality, absolute holiness and heavenliness. I'm telling you, it's already paid for. The blood has done it. The blood has done it. I'm preaching in the morning on treading on the devil's, that's not the right words for it. Let me say it right. Satan is under our feet. Satan is under our feet. I said Satan is under our feet. The blood of Jesus has won everything that has to do with redemption, everything that has to do with cleaning up this immoral world. Everything that has to do with judging the devil and all of his great horde of angels, everything that has to do with the book of Revelation and the final judgments is paid for. It's a done situation. It's already victorious. Hallelujah. Because of the blood. So death is swallowed up in victory. Will you say those words with me? Death is swallowed up in victory. Now, I still think you ought to start calling 1-800-338-7884. Let me put up that number because I would love to answer a few questions here. This is so dynamic. This is so breathtaking. I mean, we're going to have a new body, and the blood of Jesus is the premium that was paid for that new body. The blood of Jesus is the premium that was paid for that new body. Are you hearing me? The blood of Jesus is the premium that was paid for me being glorified and you being glorified and becoming immortal and living on this earth and being kings and queens and ruling this earth in righteousness for 1,000 years before we enter into the new heaven and the new earth and new Jerusalem. And all the future is all breathtaking. Now, call me quickly. The number is before. For you, grab your phone. Do you have a question? You say, Brother Chambers, you got me all out of whack. I hope I have. And then I hope you get in your Bible, and I hope you stay there until you learn everything that you can learn about this subject I'm talking about. I want it to become so real to you. I want it to become so mighty in you that you start telling your kids and your neighbors, your Sunday school classes. If you're a preacher, I want you to preach this great truth to your congregation until we help people understand that we're mortal here. We're mortal, we're corruptible, but we will soon be immortal. immortal and incorruptible, and we'll soon have glorified incorruptible bodies, and we will spend eternity in a blessed place that is beyond measure. I mean, I cannot tell you how wonderful it's going to be. I can't get away from this 1 Corinthians 15. It is so overwhelming. It is so when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. Hallelujah. I'm quoting to you. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a booklet today you can order that deals with all of this. You can get the scripture. You can get the quotations. I have things in here I printed from people like G.H. Lang and Hudson Taylor that talks about what's waiting us if we're faithful. When we get our heavenly reward, it's going to be something else, friend. It really is. Now, grab your phone and call quickly. I want to try to answer a few tough questions about this subject. Because many people, I was at someone's home this week, and this is a dear person, and they're not a bad person. I'm not being critical. And I said something about my Juanita. And they said to me, listen, she's not your wife any longer. Will you quit grieving over her and talking about her? And I thought, it didn't make me angry. It just bothered me that his opinion of my and my lovely wife's relationship is so now in the past that I'm supposed to just forget about it and not care anything about it. I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to seeing that dear soul. She made my life worth living. She made my life bearable. She was my children's mama. She was my sweetheart, my grandchildren. Oh, she loved those grandkids. And now the great grandkids. Friend, I'm here to tell you, we need to not forget. We need to quit treating life like it's just some old dark thing. And when a little something passes, just forget it. And, you know, your wife's dead, so go find you another woman, you know. I'm sorry, I'm just not of that nature. I am grateful. I am telling you, I'm grateful for having a wife like I had. Well, there's so much here, and I get myself all tied up on a few things, and I'm telling you, they eat me up. They really consume me. What a day that's going to be. Now, I want to take you to that scripture in Matthew. I was trying to figure out where I want to take you next here. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Oh, I like this. It gives you some idea now what the resurrection is all about. See, people just don't have any idea. They got all kind of fantasy things. They off in Netherland. I mean, I'm amazed at what people say. Well, here's a picture. This is the first fruits of the resurrection with Christ. And behold, this is Matthew 27, and we'll go to verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. Okay, got it? Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus, when he had cried, this is on the cross, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. This is what was happening physically in the natural world, the nature world, when Jesus was on the cross, when he died, and the graves were opened. Now notice this, and the graves were opened. That means they were just wide open. That means the earth was cast out, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now notice, and came out of the graves. Now, I'm not reading you some imagination. I'm reading you what Jesus told us in the Bible. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city. They left the graveyard and walked into the holy city. Walked into the holy city. And, notice this, and appeared unto many. Now, can you imagine? You don't name the saints. Let's say maybe one of them was David of old, a man after God's own heart. And suddenly he arose and went into the city, and he went over to the royal house where the royal people lived, and walked in, and they immediately recognized look who that is, and they recognized him. And appeared unto many, And so here's King David in the royal house in Jerusalem, and the people see him. Now, how long did he talk to them? How long did he stay there? Did he simply disappear and ascend into the heavens, as I'm sure they all did? The Bible don't say that. It just tells us they were seen a many. And this is a picture of a resurrection of saints of God who appeared unto many. They didn't go back to that grave. They went to heaven. They went to heaven. Now, if that happened to those people and they appeared and were seen of many, then don't you think the resurrection is some kind of netherworld, some kind of nothingness, some kind of just some disembodied spirits floating around in the atmosphere? Oh, no, my friend. We're talking about a genuine resurrection of the dead. We're talking about bodies in the grave coming out, and they come out glorified. They shine with the radiance of a heavenly beauty. They reflect the absolute glory of the risen Lord. They are beautiful. They are breathtaking. They bear the beauty of an ageless condition. And then we will ascend to heaven. If it's the rapture, we will ascend to heaven. These apparently ascended to heaven. The Bible don't even say. Don't tell us. But we just know they came out of the graves. They sure didn't go back. That's for sure. Because they were being resurrected as part of the first fruits with Jesus. Now, friend, this is what I'm trying to get you to grasp, is that we are going to have brand new bodies. They are going to be glorious beyond measure. There is nothing to compare with the beauty that we have coming. I'm telling you, as we're born the earthly, we shall also bear the heavenly. Don't forget that verse, 1 Corinthians 15. Please don't forget that. As we're born the earthly, so shall we bear the heavenly. Are you bearing the earthly image of Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you repented and turned from your sins? Have you quit your careless living? Have you quit your sinful living? Have you turned your life over to Christ? Are you ready to bear the image of the earthly Christ, the earthly Savior, the earthly Redeemer, so that you can soon bear the image of the earth, the image of the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Christ, and the heavenly beauty? I love that. That's in Matthew 27 now. Don't you take my word. Go tell it to your preacher. Tell him, hey, I want you to preach on this next Sunday, Pastor. You got a whole week. I want you to tell me about these bodies that came out of the grave and explain the resurrection to me with those scriptures as your background. You know, you couldn't explain that to anybody with those scriptures as your background and not keep it decent. I promise you. And now, let's talk a little bit. See, there's going to be a resurrection, and everybody is going to have. I need to go back here. I can't get away from 1 Corinthians 15. I'm telling you, the Bible makes it plain that everybody's reward will be different. Everybody's reward will be different. Are you understanding that? Everybody's reward on that day will be different. And there's plenty of scripture to back that up. So let me give you one or two here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was trying to find it because I didn't mark it. Didn't know I was going to go back to it. But God giveth it, verse 38. Let's read 37. And that which thou sowest, thou shalt also reap. That which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Woo, that's good. Isn't the Bible wonderful? Why don't you live in this book more, friends, saints of God, preachers? Why don't you live in this book? Get you 1 Corinthians 15 and read the whole chapter about 10 times this week. Get out on your knees and pray and say, God, this is over my head. Will you help me understand it? That's what I've had to do. I do it all the time. If God don't help me understand the Bible, I'm helpless to understand the Bible. Now, you got to have this. If you don't get started living a life for the future, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You really ought to be. If you don't get started living here, bearing the image of Christ here, so you can bear it there. And he says, God, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. Now, notice, I want to go on. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Every person gets their own body. A glorified body, glorified after the copy of what you give them. glorified after what you provide them. Oh, that's so important. All flesh is not the same flesh. He goes on talking about the celestial, terrestrial. Says there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. Every star different from another star. Now, verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. So you provide him a body according to how you have lived. Have you borne the image of the Christ? You say, this is by grace. No. This is by your lifestyle. See, people want everything by grace. They want a freebie. They want God to give them a freebie. They want to live like they please, and God give them all kinds of things for their careless living. Well, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to read that verse again, and you can go to it. It's in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And you can read all of that very clear. Whatever you provide him, whatever your lifestyle is, if you're careless and careless living, and you don't have a half a dedication, you just go about life with a free spirit, doing your own thing, thinking, well, I got faith, I believe in God. So as long as I got faith and I believe in God, as long as I know Jesus was crucified, I'm gonna be all right. No, friend, you gotta be washed in the blood. And then you got to live a sanctified life by the blood. You know, the blood of Jesus will sanctify you. It'll enable you. You say, I can't live a Christian life. No, you can't, but he can. See, he lives the Christian life in you. You give your life to him. You walk with him. You serve him. You obey him. And he gives you grace. Now, I'm going to open these lines, and I'm going to require 5 or 6 telephone calls with some real questions that I can help somebody with. There's got to be a bunch of them out there, and I want to answer them so badly. I really do. I want to answer them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, the book of Corinthians is one incredible book. You ought to spend a little time in that book, getting your life all refreshed and all blessed up, and where God can use you. Now, let me take you a little bit here. This is chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon the foundation, the foundation is your faith in Christ. It's your confidence in the blood. It's your redemption by the blood. It's your being born again. Now, the foundation, okay? Every man's work shall be made by... Wait a minute, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, upon the faith, upon your commitment to Christ, if any man build upon it, gold and silver and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. You got 2 kinds of life. You, as a Christian, are living one of these. You're either living a life of beauty in great devotion, in great dedication with gold and silver and precious stones, or you're living your life carelessly with wood and hay and stubble. If any man's works abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. You'll receive a reward if your works abide. If you've lived right, if you've built upon the foundation gold and silver and precious stone, you will have a reward. But if any man's works do not, they're burned up, he shall suffer loss. But because he's been saved by grace, he will still be in heaven. He will still be saved, but no reward. Now, that's so much until I'm overwhelmed with it all. I hope I've got through to you. I've got some time, 12 minutes maybe, something like that, 11 minutes. Oh, yeah, about 11 minutes. I want some questions. Grab your phone. Grab your phone and let's talk about it. Let's talk about this. I'm going to preach in the morning about the blood. I'm going to tell you in the morning that the devil is under our feet. The devil is under our feet. Don't you go to telling me the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do nothing. You let him make you. You let him cheat you. You let him lead you astray. Whatever's happening to your life is your responsibility. Nobody else's. And you must answer. Oh, I cry out to you. If God has ever helped you. If God has ever got a hold of you. Now, what is your question? How can I help you? How can I tell you how the blood can make the great difference in your life, and you can live victorious? I don't care how much devil is around you. I don't care how much sin there is in the home you live in, the place you work, the community where your care is located. I don't care how much devil there is there. You, by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the sanctifying power of His wonderful grace, you can live a godly life. You can live a holy life. And you can have a glorified body on that wonderful day. Everybody there will have a glorified body. But everybody's glory will be distinctly different. What you reward, what you get, what God is able to give you is going to be chosen by you in the way you live. Now, don't you try to count that as naught, because that's too big in the Bible to ever count it as naught. I got some quotes in here by Hudson Taylor. I got some quotes in here by G.H. Lang, great scholar of the English past. I'm telling you, if you've ever learned what this Bible is saying and quit playing games, allowing this compromising world to convince you that it don't matter how you live, it don't matter what you do, God don't look on the outward of man, He looks on the inward. You misquote that Bible if you say anything like that, because God was talking in that case about the difference between David and his brothers. The brothers was big and tall, and they looked like they had kingly potential, but little David was just a young lad who'd been caring for his father's sheep. And so the world, you know, will look at the young lad and think he's nothing, but God looks on the heart. And so God saw the heart of David, and he was a man after God's own heart. Made some mistakes, but he was forgiven them because he repented and he did what was right, and God forgave him, and David went on to die a man after God's own heart. Now, friend, I really care about you today, and I'm pouring my heart out to you in these Bible studies we're doing now. I'm trying to take the things that are so great. Next week, we're going to be talking about that millennial and talking about the saints of God who are going to rule this very earth. I mean, the ground you and I are standing on is going to be ruled by the kingdom of God. The ground you're standing on, all the government entities, all the care of man and just the whole world will be ruled by Christ, Jesus Christ and the saints of God. And so that's the kind of bodies we're going to have, glorified bodies that can walk and talk among fellow brothers and fellow people. And even the saints of God will be able to walk and talk among the natural people on the earth who have not been glorified. And we'll be able to lead in a government of righteousness, and there won't be no killing unborn babies, there won't be no same-sex marriage, and there won't be no murdering and those kind of actions. They won't need the penitentiaries. I'm telling you, we're talking about a world in which righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, the Bible said, and we are going to be in charge of that with our glorified bodies. You have, if you're a saint of God, if you're living right, if you've given all you are to Christ, and you're bearing the image of the earthy, that's what being born again is. Being born again is being transformed until we bear the image of the Christ. We bear the image of the Lord Jesus' life. We keep His commandments. We live like He taught us to live. We obey Him like He taught us to obey Him. And then we will bear His same image, except in the heavenly form. I never did get to Revelation. I'll go there while I got a moment here. I'm opening the lines now. I really wanted you to call. I've not had many calls lately because I've been going deep into theological discussions, trying to get you to wake up out there, trying to get you to understand we're right on the verge of that rapture. At any moment, my friend, at any moment, the rapture could come and could occur, and Jesus could come, and we would sail out of here. Like, I'm telling you, it would be something grand. I'd like to go right in the middle of an open Bible dialogue. Hallelujah. Let you watch me sail up through the sky in case you're not going yourself. I know a lot of my good people are blessed people, saintly people, and I'm thrilled for that. I love every person that listens to this broadcast. I'm hearing more calls lately than I've ever heard in my life. People that are just loving what we're doing, loving the things that we're bringing to you. Now, let me give you a picture that John saw of Jesus. Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Where are you going to be tomorrow? In the Spirit or at Walmart? Where are you going to be tomorrow after the morning service? In a restaurant somehow, making those people have to work so you can go to church, making them sin by not keeping the Lord's Day holy so they can feed you? I hope you don't do that. I sure do. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. Write thou what thou seest, write it in a book, and send it unto the angels that are, he names them, in Asia, unto Ephesus, and Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then he said, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. You see the bodily features? You see that what John saw was the Son of God in his glorified form? And the garment he wore was all the way down to his feet? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And then it said he was... I'm trying to read it here. I get all excited. Woo! Glory, I do get excited. I hope you don't mind that. And he wore a golden girdle, and his head, he had a head, and his hair were white like wool. You see, he has a hair. I'm talking about you're going to be like him. And I'm trying to show you him. I'm trying to show you John looking at Jesus. Are you hearing me? And John said it very clearly, and his feet like a defined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and the voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth on a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead. I am alive forevermore. I am alive and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Of hell and of death. Write the things which thou seest. See, John saw him. And we're going to be like him. For we're going to see him as he is. Is that good enough? Are you satisfied with that? I know I've got to end here. I hope you've been blessed. You can start calling now. The lady will send you this material. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. I want you to have this booklet. I really do. I don't want you to stop with what you've heard. I want you to dig in. I want you to educate yourself. Preachers, that book, that article will give you everything you need for a good sermon next Sunday morning. You don't even have to tell them my name. Just preach it. Preach it, brother. Preach the word of the Lord. And don't miss in the morning. I'm preaching on Satan. I'm having to go read it every time. Satan is under our feet. Satan is under our feet. Oh, you don't want to miss tomorrow. You really don't. Right here at Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We love you. I love you. Next week, I'm going to talk about the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign. Did you know it could start in 7 years? 7 years. That's all it needs. Rapture, 7-year tribulation period, then the Battle of Armageddon, and then the thousand-year millennial reign starts. Any moment now, the rapture could occur. I'm looking for it today. I really am. I am looking for it today. I can hardly wait for that glorious moment. It is thrilling to my heart. I'm trying. I want to hear some music with you as I bring it to a close. You're wonderful. I love you. I want you to be blessed. I want your life to be changed. I want you to walk with God. I want you to do the Lord's will.
Here we're often tossed and driven of the restless sea of time.
Yes, we are, brother.
Rolling clouds and howling tempests oft succeed upright sunshine. In the land of perfect day, when the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, the morning comes when all the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. will understand it better by and by. Here temptation's hidden snare often takes us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home.